You have to do Chamishi and Shishi. But it's not as bad as you think, because Chamishi and Shishi have a common theme. So we could just say a few words about these two aliyahs together, which really is the topic of the month, and the question of Lecha Mishnah. So I'll just say a little bit, as much as I can, about both things in the next few minutes. And then, Morty, I don't know what you'll talk about tomorrow, but maybe you'll supplement whatever is left. So also, this is a quick opportunity for you to get some extra parnasa, apparently, because, as you know, there is a skula that dates back to Mendel of Rimanov, that Parshas Beshalach, really on Tuesday, so we tried to move a little closer to Tuesday, but not bad, to read the Parshas Haman, Hashem Mirka V'yachet Targum. It's supposed to be a skula for Parnassa. So here, that's the aliyah that we're talking about here, the section that talks about the falling of the mind. It's not quite Tuesday, it's Wednesday, but I'm pretty sure that it'll be at least as effective. But the point is that not necessarily this particular skula, but the recognition that everything comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that all our sustenance comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why some have pointed out that whether you're into skulas or not, that it's there to help emphasize that and to recognize that. And also, one shouldn't misunderstand, it's not meant to be a skula for Ashiras. It's not saying that you'll become wealthy. It's saying that you will have parnasa, which means you'll have what you need. And therefore, again, the way to realize, the way to relate to this is that we should be able to make do with what we have. We should be able to recognize that what we have is HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing for us. And that's really the message of the man, and that's really a major theme that we find in this parsha here, and we find in the whole experience. So again, whether you're a skula person or not, that mentality is very much on our mind. And that's also why the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the first bracha of Berachas Hamazon when he saw the man. And so question, why exactly is that the time to institute Berachas Hamazon? It's not the first time anyone ever ate. It's not the last time anyone ever ate. It's only a specific type of eating. So there are various suggestions in the Mefarshim as to why this is the impetus for the bracha of the man, which many understand. The Ma'bid writes, he assumes that the text that Moshe Rabbeinu formulated is actually the same text that we have for the first bracha of Berachas Hamazon. Even when we quote the psukim from Tehillim, it could mean that the idea of the pasuk was formulated earlier and then appeared in Tehillim later. And this bracha is meant not only to represent food, but to represent a particular appreciation of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us and of the spiritual nature of that, of the relationship between us and God, even above and beyond that which is necessary for basic survival. And that's perhaps what's reflected in this origin of the bracha. It's also suggested that maybe Nachman Brusnak in the Sefer on Berachas Hamazon has this idea that the notion that Kviya Suda is something that is crucial. We don't bench on a snack, we bench on a meal. And that before the man came, it was all about survival, grab a little bit here, grab a little bit there. It's a sense of Kviyas, and the man comes to represent that there was actually a set pattern, there was actually formality associated with the mealtime. And that, again, is perhaps something that Berachas Hamazon is meant to represent, and maybe that's why Moshe instituted it in that connection. So we have here themes of Torah Parnassa, perhaps Torah Model also. Could be a mucker for Marie Antoinette. Marie Antoinette was always made fun of for saying, let them eat cake, as if she represented this total level of cluelessness. Okay, they don't have bread, so they could eat cake. But to be a little more fair to her, if you know the historical structure, so cake didn't always represent, like it does nowadays, represent a higher level of luxury than bread did. Cake in those days, I believe, represented the day-old bread that was used when the new bread wasn't available. So it meant that, okay, if the bread is there, cake, which is the second choice, is available. So it's interesting, Chazal also in the Gemara in Yuma, in the 8th parak, Gemara has a statement there that the tzaddikim and the beinanim and the rishayim all related to it differently, because the pasuk in Baloscha has additional language. Here the pasuk refers to man as lechem. In Baloscha it refers to it as ugos, and about tachanu berechayim. So the Gemara says that the tzaddikim, they got their man as lechem, and the rishayim, they had to do the actual grinding themselves. And the Beinonim, they got it as ugos. So that's like Marie Antoinette said, if you can't get the lechem, you get the ugos. If you can't get the bread, you get the cake. So perhaps it's a mucker from this week's parsha as well. There is a whole discussion in the commentaries, the poskim and elsewhere, about since this is referred to as bread from the Shemayim, so what bracha is appropriate? Did they make a bracha? Did they not make a bracha? So some assume there was no bracha that's associated. But again, here we have Moshe Rabbeinu instituting Berachas HaMazon in this connection, so it seems like there will at least be a bracha afterwards, if not a bracha beforehand. So there are various theories. There are those who suggest that it should be Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShamayim. Those who suggest it should be Hamamtir Lechem Min HaShamayim. And those who suggest that perhaps it should be tailored to whatever taste you put in the man. So if the man can taste like anything, so maybe that should define what the bracha is, and whatever you decide to taste like, that's where the bracha is going to come with. The Rugachover actually has a tshuva. You can try to find this about whether it's mutter or not to create a treif taste in man. It's allowed to taste that Thomas can decide that your man is going to be pork. So that's an interesting discussion the Rugachover has. You probably could write an entire sefer on Hilchos Haman, because there are a lot of interesting things that come out of it. But there have been both senses of the word, probably. But there are a lot of interesting halachic ramifications of the Gemara about the Gemara and the Torah's whole discussion about man. Just to add another one or two, so the Gemara says, the Gemara implies in the 8th parak of Yuma that Neiros Shabbos is because of the man. And the Gemara says, tells us in Eked, that God provided us the man, and he afflicted us, and he made us hungry. So how does one meet the other? If we're being given this wonderful food that could taste like anything, so then how do you get the idea that there's any inui involved? So the Gemara basically understands that as much as it could taste like anything, a crucial part of the experience is to be able to see the food and to fully appreciate what it is. In other words, if you're not seeing what it looks like, then you're not fully getting the experience. And that leads us to the idea of Neiros Shabbos, because we can't have Onik Shabbos if we're not able to actually see what we're eating. So that becomes a link between the two. The Gemara there also tells us that the man had a strictly detective component to it, because since it was given per person, so if you had somebody of questionable parentage or an eved of questionable ownership, the man would end up in the house that was actually reflective of where it should be. And that leads to a whole discussion in posting about haskening based on divine signs and about the local Shemayimi. A lot of fascinating discussions that come out from the man. There's also, from this week's parsha, a discussion that could come up relating to malacha, because the parsha within our Aliyah in Shishi, the parsha tells us that the Jews were told to gather a double portion of man and have that ready for Shabbos. And then the Torah says, Asher tofu ofu, Asher tibasheli bashelu, that whatever you want to bake, you should bake, and whatever you want to cook, you should cook. So Mefarshim try to figure out what exactly is going on here, because here the Pasuk is telling us that the idea is that we have to prepare for Shabbos in advance, because we can't prepare for Shabbos on Shabbos, just like we know. We can't cook on Shabbos, so we have to do everything Friday. So when it comes to the man, we're told to do that as well. But the question could be asked, well, how exactly did they prepare the man? And if the man just took on whatever taste you wanted, so presumably you could say, okay, make this taste like cholent, make this taste like cooked chicken, and that happened right away. So where is there an actual act of bishul that's taking place, or an act of baking that's taking place? It's all in the mind. So this is a big discussion the post can have, which could have implications for improving technology now. So are you in violation of a malacha if you do it mentally? That's not something that's so far off. If you could just think, okay, my oven should turn on, this should happen, this food should become cooked, is that considered to be a malacha on Shabbos? So it sounds a little bit like that from these psukim, telling us to prepare in advance. Some of the commentaries suggest that what's going on here is that we're being told that they had to at least say it out loud. And maybe the saying it out loud, maybe that's also a part of the process. Maybe that's also something that's going to be considered a maisa, and therefore that's also relevant as far as Shabbos is concerned. So a lot of fascinating halachic topics that emerge from the man, even if we don't think that this is necessarily something that we encounter every day, but there's a lot of very interesting stuff that applies from the discussions you can have. And of course, one of the major topics that also comes out of here is the topic of Lecha Mishnah. The Taz understands from here the Lecha Mishnah is a din ha-Torah and has various ramifications of that. So when the Gemara says that Neir Shabbos take priority over Neir Chanukah because of Shalom Bayis, so the Taz says, yeah, that even though it takes priority over Neir Chanukah, and the Gemara says also priority over Kiddush. So Kiddush is a din min ha-Torah, but the Taz says, no, not really, because you can make Kiddush on bread. So you don't have to spend money on wine to fulfill the din min ha-Torah, but you do have to have bread, min ha-Torah, and says the bread, that will override even Neir Shabbos and Neir Chanukah, because Lecha Mishnah is a din min ha-Torah based on this week's parashah. So the Magen Avraham and many others don't assume like that, but it's a fascinating concept. Maybe we'll have some time to add a little bit more to this. Just mention there is also a major machlokas when it comes to Lecha Mishnah about how to do it. So the most common practice that we see is that the balabayas makes the bracha on the two rolls, and no one else makes the bracha. Everyone is yotze through his bracha, and they then get to share and get to taste in the bread that is spread around. But there is a minority view, a little bit more popular among the Hasidim, it's the view of the Eishel Avraham of Buchach, that actually everyone makes their own bracha on the Hamotzi, and just the idea of partaking in the Lecha Mishnah is that you are eating from this double roll. It doesn't necessarily have to happen through the bracha of the Bala Bayis, especially if you assume, like this view of the Taz, that it actually is a Din Min HaTorah. So then, if we're assuming that, so a bracha is not a din min ha-Torah, so how could we say that the din min ha-Torah is to make the bracha over two rolls? So then they assume that the din min ha-Torah must be to eat from the two rolls, and that's something which can happen even if you make your own bracha independently. So a lot more to say about this, but this is also to represent the idea of chipazon that I think we discussed a little bit last week, that we don't have time for all the bread to fully break and fully bake before we have to hurriedly rush out. So I very much appreciate all your flexibility and your cooperation here. And thanks to Morty for helping out tomorrow, dropping out with the schedule. And I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. And Sunday should be a relatively normal schedule.